All right, it's good to have each of you here tonight. Praise the Lord. And we're in 1 Kings 16, verses 29 to 34, in the beginning of Ahab's wicked reign. I just want you to know, I don't know how I'm going to go about this tonight, but I'll figure it out here in a second. I started studying it, and then I got into something, and I followed it and kept following it, and it revealed something. And so it just changed everything for me. Translated, that means whatever I had just went poof, all right? So I'm going to have to try to show you something very important tonight. I mean, it's a very revealing thing. But it's one of those things you just got to chase it and chase it and chase it and chase it and chase it. And then when you keep looking at it, you begin to see a pattern set. And you just chase it and chase it. And then you look at it and it gets really good. So I'm going to make an attempt. I'm going to make an attempt to do this. So, make sure you got your Bible open, because we're going to have to look at a few other verses, okay? So let's get started with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to explain something to you. And then I'm going to try to let the word of God prove it to you. All right? How's that?
Amen.
That's what I said. Yeah. See my notes? I took another page of paper and I got a little bit right there, a little bit right down here, you know, just verses. But that messed up what I had really bad. But this was so good, I figured I got to share this with them. It's so important. All right, are we ready? Got your Bible? Everything? Let's pray to Heavenly Father as we come to you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Lord, for this place that I can come and preach the word of God. I thank you, dear Lord, for the people that come. Lord, that they come here for the word of God. What a blessing. And now I thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you that Floyd's doing better. We thank you, Lord, you've taken care of Gary Needlearners. He's driven all day in the snow. And Lord, we thank you just for all that you're doing. We pray for Elaine, that you'd grant her healing, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, thank you for doing what you've done for Linda and helping her. And now, Lord, bless this time that we have together. Open our understanding that we'd understand the scriptures. Grant us all a filling of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. All right, here we go. 1 Kings 16, 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. Boy, Asa's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of people come and go up there, hadn't he? All right. Began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria. Now, we've already looked at Samaria, right? Okay. 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. You know, it's got to get bad because Omri did all before him and so on and so forth. They all done a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. All right? Now, here's what I want you to write down at the bottom of that page of paper or at the top. It makes no difference. I want you to write these three words down. Are you ready? Got your pen out? All right, here we go. The first, now, just write them in a line. Put a dash between them. The first word is compromise. Write down the word compromise. Then dash. Then unity. Then a dash. Then apostasy. Now, that's the progress of things, okay? Now, here's what we're going to look at. Let's read verse 31 And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, why was it a light thing for him? That's because the previous relatives had done it. That's because even his daddy had done it. See that? So, because the previous people in his life had already set the standard, had already set the compromise, had already set things up, they've already set the stage for him to do what he's going to do. All right? And so, and verse 31, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. It was. To him, it was. No big thing. Everybody else has done it. Okay? That he took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went in and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, without me getting into this real deep, what you find, Zidonia and Zidon, S-I-D-O-N, you'll see that listed even in the New Testament. You find it, after one point, you find it listed with Tyre. Tyre and Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, all right? Now, these two cities, it's referred to it at some time. God even refers to it as the Great Sidon, all right? Now, why is that? It's because both of those, right, they lived on the coast, even on a little island off the coast. And man, they had money, they had pride, prestige, pocketbook, and popularity. They had it all. When you look at them, they had everything. All right? But there's a problem with all of this. And the problem started way back when. And what happens back there, and when you look in the Bible and you see something, and all these alarms go off, ding, 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 well, you start going back to look and say, all right, why? 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 And you get back so far, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the answer. And you realize that people compromise for the sake of unity, don't they? Well, there's no place for that in the Word of God. There's no place for that. Because once you have unity, then that's going to lead to apostasy. You're going to apostatize from the truth, compromising for the sake of unity. Well, it brings in confusion and a lot of other things, right? Now, let me show you something. Let me set the stage here a little bit. I want you to go to Judges, chapter 1, Judges, chapter 1. Now, we've already studied Judges and looked at some of this stuff, so we'll go back now. Judges 1. All right. And now, look at this. Let's start in verse 27. All right? Now, remember, the key word is the Zidonians or Zidon, okay? Now, watch this. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach, her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibeam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now, God had told them to drive these people out. Leave none of them. Get them out totally. And he made it, don't make no covenants with them, no marriages with them, because God said, if you do, they'll turn the hearts of your young men and women away from God. That's what God said, right? You got it? All right. Let's go to verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In other words, they compromised. They compromised what God said, didn't they? Rather than getting rid of them, they decided, oh, well, we'll just put them to tribute. We'll work them. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Well, how's that going to work out? Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naholah, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Boy, they're getting along now, aren't they? Yeah. Verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon. See that? In other words, if Asher would have done what God told them to do, the Zidonians wouldn't have been there for them to compromise with, would they? You see, how important is it for you way down here to be obedient to God? Because if you don't, what you compromise way down here, years later will surface down here in a bad way. You see that? Asher was commanded to get rid of the Zidonians, and they didn't. Okay? So now, when we get to looking at this, I thought to myself, wow, I've sat here and looked at 1 Kings, and I remember a few things back here. And I thought to myself, wow, look who this big compromiser was. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11 now. 1 Kings chapter 11. Are you there? Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians. See that? And God had told him to get rid of the Moabites. They were filthy. The Ammonites were filthy morally. The Edomites were morally filthy. The Zidonians, same way. And now, Jezebel was a Zidonian. And so we find then that Solomon messed up, didn't he? And now, why am I leading on this trail? Because we've got to see that this compromise is going to lead something. Now, listen to me. Most generally, people compromise, and a compromise benefits self. If we're going to compromise, the first person it's going to benefit is me. If I'm going to compromise somehow, then it's going to benefit me. That means, because if I compromise, I'm getting rid of some conflict, aren't I? See, the best way to get rid of conflict is to compromise. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
And the best way to keep raising all kinds of trouble is not to compromise. But compromise. Now listen. Now I've already taught you this, so I'm just going to talk about it. Hiram was king of Tyre. Now Tyre and Sidon were sister cities. That's why you find once you get to one point, every time if you see Tyre, you'll see Sidon. If you see Sidon, you're going to see Tyre. Why? Because they were sister cities sitting out there. Okay. So King David was doing some compromising, and Asher didn't do what they were going to do. So now Hiram, the Bible says that Hiram loved David. And so they're making a compromise. David accepted the trees from Hiram and built him a house. Well, when he died off, then Solomon done the same thing, didn't he? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at something of grave importance here. Now, let me show you something. Back up to Judges chapter 10. Then we'll get back to the notes. I got to get you oriented into this. Actually, I got to get me oriented into this. All right? Judges chapter 10. Watch this now. Judges 10. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. Judges 10, 11 and 12. All right. Verse 11 and 12, Judges 10. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? You see, the Zidonians, they hated the true and the living God. They hated the religion of Israel. And when we get to looking at this, I thought to myself, wow, if he's going to take this woman and compromise and take this woman. Now, remember, Ahab was a very passive person, wasn't he? He came in, he was crying and carrying on. He told, you know, Jezebel, said, what's wrong with you? She said, oh, he won't sell me his property. She said, I'll take care of that. Right? So they just went out there and killed him and took it. There's more to this story. Now, watch this. Last place I want you to go is this. I want you to go to 1 Kings 18. We're in 1 Kings 16 tonight. I want you to go to 1 Kings 18. All right. 1 Kings 18. Now, Obadiah was the head of Ahab's house. Okay? And now, let's just read verse 3 and 4 to save a little time. Verse 3 and 4 about Obadiah here. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now look at verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, in other words, she was killing them, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And so Obadiah was a good guy, but when this Zidonian woman started to kill God's men, he took 100 of those prophets and hid them. Why? Well, that's because she was a Zidonian. And when you look at the religion of the Zidonians, they were totally immoral. They were totally wicked. They were totally God-hating people. Okay? Now let's go back to the notes and start working our way down from here. So do you get the picture so far about these Zidonians? All right. Do you get the picture of compromise? Do you see that? How that compromise started way back here, right? When Asher did not drive out the Zidonians. And so these others, they left them there also. They didn't do what God said. So they compromised with them and they begin to live with them and they get to the point where they accept one another. Right? And the girls meet the boys and the boys meet the girls. And now you've messed everything up. So now, it's kind of like today. How many times have I heard this? You're going to get married, young lady? Yes. Well, where's your husband go to church? He's Catholic. Oh. So you're going to marry... Well, I love him. But what does God say about this? But I love him. What does God say about this? He's a Zidonian. God said no. But I love him. He's an Ammonite, but he's a good guy. She's a Zidonian. She hates your God. Yeah, but I love her. Get the message? See, compromise benefits the compromiser first, before anything else. Compromise benefits the compromiser. Got it? All right. So now, here we are. Now we're at verse 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Why was it a light thing? Because those before him had compromised. So now listen to me. If the parents compromise, it makes it easy for the children to compromise. I read a story one time, and I got to admit, it tickled me. It tickled me. Because I've heard people, even some of you say it. The story was this man and wife, they lived a very roachy life. They went from bar to bar and bottle to bottle, you know, and just lived that type of life, just roachy. And then they had a child. And as the child grew up, the child said, well, that's what you used to do. Why are you condemning me? And the story said, Mama got right in the boy's face and said, you stupid thing, don't you think experience has some education in it? Huh? Are you going to go out and stick your hand in a fire? Well, no. Why not? It'll burn you. How do you know that? You ain't never stuck your hand in a fire. Well, I've seen people. That's right. You're looking at one of them. Don't you tell me no. Been there, done that. He got the message. You see, she wasn't going to compromise. That he took the wife of Jezebel, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. Now, see the name Ethbaal? See, B-A-A-L, right? See, that means that was his name. He was named after Baal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Well, If that be the case, then man, he got along really good with his father-in-law, didn't he? He got along really good with his father-in-law. He compromised everything. Why? Because God wasn't in the picture. I'm going to try to make something live for you. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to try to make this work for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to make it work for me. I want you to do something. When you look at Tyre and Sidon, you're going to see it all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. But I want you right now, if you would please, take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. All right? Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's see if I can make this work. I'm going to try. And so just remember something now. While I was studying this, all this come about, right? So you following me so far? Amen. All right, now watch this. Ezekiel 28. Start in verse 1 with me. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. We'll deal with the first 7 verses. But there's one verse here that we've just got to look at and deal with. And I think for all of you adults for sure that when I say this, you're going to catch it just like that. Let's start in verse 1, okay? Ezekiel 28, verse 1. We're going to look at the first 7 verses. All right? And this is talking about Tyre and Sidon and so on. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, that's Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Whoa. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Boy, he's talking a lot about the heart here, isn't he? Heart, 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 and heart. Verse 7, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Boy, I'm telling you what, I read that and I thought to myself, look at that. They're filthy, nasty, dirty, rich. See that? Man, they got gold, they got silver, they got wisdom, they got it all together, right? Now back up. And let's read just verse 1 and 2 now. You ready? And then I'm going to give you that one word. You ready? I'm going to give you that one word, just a second. But we got to read verses 1 and 2. Then I'm going to give you that one word. Here we go. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Do you know what I just read to you? It's summed up in one word, and you hear it often today. That one word is, you just read the definition of humanism. That's what it is. Humanism. That's when man takes the place of God. It's humanism. And boy, when humanism rules, man rules and not God. Sure. Now this morning, we dealt with truth. Last week, we dealt with truth. You see, what happens is this, is when man rules and man is God, then we live according to man's rules, man's morality. We live according to man's God, or gods, should I say. So what we find here now is that the reason Jezebel, and of course we're going to study her a little bit more, right, until the dogs eat her, but why was she like she was? Why was she so cotton-picking wicked? Why did all of a sudden she make a decision that she's going to kill all of God's prophets? You see? Because, number one, she was a Zidonian. She was a humanist. She wanted to be God. They want to be gods unto themselves. Brandon often makes the statement. He said, well, they've become gods unto themselves. And that's true. And you see, that's nothing new. That's been going on for a long time, hadn't it?
That's right.
Well, so what we see here then is this woman, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Total compromise. Now remember something. Compromise will benefit the compromiser, okay? But it will be death to those that do not compromise. So what you find is this, is Ahab was compromising, and the compromise benefited him, didn't it? But it did not benefit the prophets of God that was not going to compromise. So Jezebel started killing them. You see, you've heard me say many times, there's a high price for low living. But did you know Christianity teaches us there's a high price for high living? There's a high price for moral living. There's a high price for living for God. And when you don't compromise, then you're going to find out that the people or the world around you that want you to compromise, they just as soon see you dead.
That's right.
You drop real low on the food chain. That's why Jezebel was killing them off. Why? Because they weren't compromising. Why didn't she kill her own husband? Because he compromised. See that? So she was going to be at peace with him. But she was not going to be at peace with the men of God. Are y'all following me tonight?
Amen.
All right. Good. Let's Let me look at one thing here real quick. I might want to take you back to one other thing in 1 Kings. I'll let you know here in just a second when I see this. Because we got to see this before I move on, because I'll move on quite rapidly. Yes, turn to 1 Kings 5:1, if you would, please. Now remember, Tyre and Sidon were sister cities. Okay? Now watch this. Hiram had built a house for David. Okay? And now Solomon is going to do this. And let's read verse 1, we'll just go over to verse 7, all right? Well, now, let's read verse 1 to 7. You got to get it all. Okay, you ready? This is now we've already went over this once. 1 Kings 5, starting verse 1. Now, watch this. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. Right? So now listen to me. David done some compromising here. Why in the world would this Baal-worshipping king, this wicked king, he might have loved the stories about David. But if David would have been an uncompromising person, let's see what happens here now. And Solomon said to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants unto thee. Will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint? For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over his great people. Huh. Interesting, isn't it? The Sidonians. You see, David had a little compromise going on. And the compromise opened the door for Solomon. So Solomon, he compromised. And he took a wife of the what? Zidonians, didn't he? But now we started off. Why are the Sidonians there? Because way back there, Asher did not do what God told them to do. You see that? So listen, you might compromise today, But the result of your compromise could bring about a horrendous effect way down here. You'll be dead and gone, but the result of your compromise can be tremendous. Are you still with me?
Right.
Do you see it?
Amen.
Right. All right. Let's go back to the notes now, if you would please. How are we doing? Following it? All right, I want you to follow it. Good. All right, let's go to verse 32 now. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Now this is 1 Kings 16, verse 32. Now, the other week we looked at Samaria, the origin of Samaria, didn't we? And so the origin of Samaria was what? Idols worship, wasn't it? And so now watch what he does in verse 32. We're talking about Samaria now, right? And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Where was the house of Baal at? Samaria. You see, now listen. Look up here for a second. Let me tell you something. Now, you all know this. You've done this. You've experienced this. That way, when I say it, you'll know I'm telling the truth. Compromise. When compromise is accepted, it always has a bad result. When compromise is accepted, when boys and girls decide that they're going to compromise their morality, and they accept the compromise, she gets pregnant, he becomes a dad. But he's a deadbeat dad. Usually he runs off and leaves her with it. See, compromise, once accepted, always brings about tragedy in all kinds of ways. And that's what you're seeing here. You're seeing compromise being accepted. David compromised. Asher compromised way down here. David compromised. Solomon's going to compromise. Look at the women he took. Out of all those tribes where he took women, every one of those tribes should have been destroyed. You go back up, Judges, look at it. They're all listed right there. They should have killed them all, got rid of them all, driven them out of the land. But they didn't do it, did they? So Asher's compromise way back there allowed David to compromise here, and then Solomon compromised. He took wives of all of those people. You see that? Why? Because the compromise became accepted. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to shove it down your throat and get you to the point to where you will accept it. He wants you to compromise and accept it. You see that? They want you to accept this immoral culture we live in.
Right.
They want you to accept the insanity of all the garbage that's advertised on your cell phone.
Right.
That's why I'm very touchy about my cell phone now. Why? Because, man, I'll look at the news and all of a sudden something will pop up that's just absolutely 100% totally immoral. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine your little child looking at that? Listen to that. Oh, mommy, let's look at the news. And all of a sudden here comes this advertisement on there that's lewd, crude, and totally immoral.
That's right.
As far as I'm concerned, they ought to take everybody that does that out and, well, never mind. We'll just start off with a good horse whipping. How's that?
Amen.
But they allow that. You know why they allow that nasty, filthy, dirty, immoral stuff on there? Because they want you to accept the compromise.
Right.
And it always leads to destruction. All right, you still with me?
Amen.
All right, let's go now. Verse 33. And Ahab made a grove. How do you like that? Listen, when you compromise, you cannot help but manifest your compromise. You know that? Now, look up here. Let me tell you something. I want you to understand this. The preachers around us, they want to compromise, but they don't want you to bring out the fact that they have compromised, but they can't hide it. That's why they compromise the Word of God. Now listen, either this book that I've been using for over half a century is the Word of God or it's not. Now this book I've been using is almost 500 years old. Book they've been using is almost 5 years old. Right. Which one are you going to use? You see, they don't want to be called a compromiser. They get mad when you do that. But guess what? They do not hide their compromise. Right? Y'all looking at me like a bunch of calves looking at a new gate. But that's the truth, isn't it? And some of you have already experienced this. They get mad at you and upset with you when you bring that to their attention, however the compromise is. All right. Now watch this. Verse 33. And Ahab made a grove. In other words, he manifested his compromise. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Listen, compromise and the acceptance of it blinds you to truth. Now just think about this. There was a truth here that was never brought up. There was a truth laying here that right, it was right in their face, but they didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. And the truth was this. God's not dead yet. The truth was this. They gave no consideration to God.
Right.
Here's the compromise. And he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than were they thinking about what they were, how God was going to react to this? No. Were they given any consideration to the consequences of their actions? No. No. You see, once you compromise and accept the compromise, you'll always forget. One extremely important person. Once you accept the compromise, you'll forget and give no consideration at all to how God views the compromise. That's the truth.
Amen.
How many of these people were thinking about God when they were doing what they were doing? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh and everything else. They weren't thinking about God, were they?
No.
Okay, my next question is this. Should they have thought about God?
Amen.
All right, my question is this. I want everybody in here to look at your own lifestyle and ask yourself this one question. Is God pleased with my lifestyle? Is God pleased with my lifestyle?
Amen.
Because don't forget this. We are just as bad off as they are.
Amen.
We get tied up in our lifestyle and we think we don't even give God consideration, do we? None at all. They didn't stop and ask if God was happy with their lifestyle, did he? No. And guess what? We don't either, do we? We just get all wrapped up in our lifestyle and say, okay, good, God, we're going okay. We're doing all right. God hadn't killed me yet. I'm doing okay. Now, that's one question you've got to ask yourself. I cannot answer that question for you. Nobody can answer that question for you. You've got to do it.
Amen.
And if you're a saved person, you're going to be very conscious about the answer.
Amen.
Is God pleased with my lifestyle? Well, if you're the king of your life, I guarantee you God is not pleased with your lifestyle. If I'm the king of my life, I guarantee you God's not pleased with my lifestyle. And if you and me are just doing our own thing, I guarantee you God is not pleased with our own thing. How am I doing?
Amen.
You follow me? All right. Can you see it in Scripture? All right. Drop down to verse 34 now. In his days, Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Zagab, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Man, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Well, I went ahead and put the prophecy down there for you. Joshua 6:26. Joshua 6:26. Look at this. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Wow. And then you find, under Ahab, several hundred years later, right? Ahab commissions Hiel, the Bethelite, to build Jericho. Now here's a lesson for this. You ready? He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his younger son, Zagab. In other words, boy, there was a lot of trouble, long time, a lot of trouble, a lot of struggles there. Okay? Now let's talk about that. Why in the world? You know, I've told you this before, that when I read a passage of Scripture, then all of a sudden in the middle of a passage of Scripture, there's something stuck in there that looks like, what happened here? Where'd that come from? You know? Anytime you see that in Scripture, you just better stop and take a couple hours or a couple of days and try to find out, why is that there? That's the way this is. We're talking about Ahab here, and all of a sudden, this is stuck in there. Well, what in the world is this all about? You see, here's what it's all about. Ahab gave no consideration at all. None to God. He didn't believe the curses of God. He didn't believe Joshua. He didn't believe what was written. And so He's just going to go do something. He's going to allow something to be done regardless of what Joshua said, regardless of what was written by the prophets. You know, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. We'll just let it happen. But we find a fulfillment of prophecy. And a curse on this thing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, now listen to me. And listen close. All right? Listen very close. When you go through the Bible, you'll see this term, the cursed thing. You'll see that several times in the Word of God, won't you? The cursed thing. You see, what you find is this. The godless people around you are willing to let you involve yourselves in something that's a cursed thing.
That's right.
They want you to do that because they know the outcome of that's not going to be good. It's a cursed thing. Now think about this. We're looking at what God has said. He told Asher way back there, these people are a cursed thing. Get rid of them. But none of those tribes got rid of them, did they? So they wound up with an accursed thing amongst them. The first accursed thing amongst them was this: rebellion to God. Not doing what God said to do. The second accursed thing was this: was now, not only did they not do what God said, the second accursed thing is this: now they're going to begin to accept the accursed thing. Right? Look at all the stuff around you today that the culture wants you to accept. And it's all an accursed thing. You see that? And the third thing we see, and it's right here in front of us. And what you find is this. The last part of verse 34 said, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. This was the word of the Lord. It wasn't the word of Joshua. See that? So now listen, why is it so important that you and I know the word of God? It's because we are to live according to the word of God.
Amen.
Now just think about this. You read, David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why? Because of the influence of it. If you see it enough, you'll get to the point where you accept it. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do.
Right.
He wants you to see it so much that it's not offensive to you no more. Get it?
Right.
Now the world and the culture hates the fact that I'm telling you this tonight. But either you and I are going to accept the accursed thing, or we're going to totally reject the cursed thing, But it's all going to start with this. Are you going to compromise or not?
Amen.
There's no middle road. Now remember, as I close, compromise will always benefit the compromiser first. Right? But it will always, always destroy somebody down the road. Look at what happened to Israel because of the compromise. Look at what happened to David. Look at what happened to Solomon. His wives turned his heart away from the Lord, didn't they? See, if these people up here would have done what they were supposed to have done rather than compromising, Solomon wouldn't have had that problem down there. But he did, didn't he? Your compromise today, your compromise today, my compromise today, our compromise today will absolutely destroy somebody tomorrow. So we need to stand before God and say, God, show me me.
Amen.
God, show me me. And you need to stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself, God, are you pleased with my life?
Amen.
Let the Lord rule in your life. Does that mean you might have to make some lifestyle changes? Yes.
Yep.
What's the biggest influence in your life? Some people it's the internet. They live on it. Some people it's their cell phone. They can't get away from it. I know several people I never thought they'd be like that. But man, you can't even talk to them. I mean, there's the tie to their cell phone. It's just unbelievable. There ain't no sense inviting them over to your house because you won't talk to them. Because they'll have that cell phone, and man, if it buzzes, they're reading it, they're talking on it. You don't even register, buddy. You need to stop for a moment and ask yourself, God, are you pleased with my life?
Amen.
This is a small church. I want you to do that. I'm going to ask you to do that. As you go home, just between you and God, say, God, are you pleased with my life? And then sit down and start reading the Word of God. Read Proverbs, read Psalms. Let the Word of God speak to you.
Amen.
And then be obedient to what the Holy Ghost reveals to you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you would please, as we go to the Lord in prayer.